My first marriage broke my soul through her adultery, but it also broke me free from my love of the world and my powerless form of crossless Christianity. My second marriage broke my heart through her apostasy, but it also taught me to love even more like Jesus and to trust God even when everything I thought God promised ended in spiritual death. My third marriage is teaching me that just when I think I've seen God's biggest blessings, His greatest miracles, His best redemption, His most amazing providences, or His highest love, I am absolutely wrong. This is the real-time story of how God granted me the grace to love again, to trust Him one more time for that wife of noble character, and the incredible ways He has walked us into nothing short of a Job 42:10 blessing.
Praise the Lord God Almighty. Oh, praise the Lord. It's 4:51 a.m. in the morning on Wednesday, April 21st, 2021. I am 11 miles away from having just left Jared and Kristen's house. I woke up at about 3:20, which means I only got 5 hours and 15 minutes or so of sleep. We had William and Bella come over last night, which was just so much more of a blessing to me than I expected. This was the subscriber who had been following the channel for quite some time when I started mentioning the idea that God may be moving us to Texas, and it turned out that God had me mention this for a reason, because Jared and Kristen were going to end up moving to Texas and living with William and Bella in their mother-in-law suite at their house for like 7 months, and they just became close friends. And they came over last night to meet me, and it was just such a blessing. We had dinner together. Jared made his homemade pizzas, which were just wonderful, and it was incredible. We all took pictures. She's a professional photographer and among other things. And so we all took pictures together and just laughed and praised the Lord for what He's been doing in their life and our life and all that. It was just wonderful. It was just wonderful. And I think it just kind of energized me a lot. I was not able to go to sleep when I laid down at about, 9 o'clock. I basically stayed awake until like at least 10 or a little after. And I was like, oh man, God, please. So I originally was going to leave at 3:30, get up at 3:30 and be gone by 4. And I told Jared, I said, let me just wait and I'll sleep until like 4:15, leave at 4:30. Well, I ended up waking up at 3:20. So I think I have about 5 hours and 20 minutes of sleep, which is usually not enough for me. And I get in the car this morning and I do the tripometer, the map, and it's telling me that it's 16 hours and 20 minutes. So I don't know if that's because of the traffic going through Dallas. Probably so. Maybe I picked a really bad time to go back home. But I couldn't believe it. It's like 2 hours longer than coming here. And so I just, Lord, You'll give me grace. So Jared got up with me this morning, made me a fresh cup of his perfect coffee. We said our goodbyes, and it was just, I think I've just had one of the best weekend visits with anybody, or not weekend visits, but, just 4-day visits with anybody. I mean, we were so, like, wow, the whole time. This is an extraordinary time for me, where just yesterday, this is really what I want to capture, is the additional providence of what happened, where yesterday I put up the video when God does not answer your prayer. And basically what I want to capture is a few more providences that I can remember off the top of my head that happened this weekend that I did not capture in the initial recording, where we tried to capture everything that had happened that made it very clear God was indeed asking me to walk away. Now, this is the third time I've seen 422 this morning. It was on the clock, 422 in the kitchen. It was 422 something in here, and now it's 422.2 gas mileage. And so it's only been, you know, a short time since I've left, and I'm saying, God, what an incredible blessing that is to be seeing the day after. Now, this is incredible. God help me, I got to remember all this. Here it is, God's telling me again, I'm getting ready to enter into the promised land. I have to remember that because that's so important based upon something that Jared and Kristen had happen to them last night, yesterday evening. So we went out for breakfast yesterday morning, and I could feel my stomach was starting to get upset a little bit with doubts. Some of it was that I hadn't eaten, but some of it was legitimately I was starting to have just flaming arrows about doubt. I started having some doubts about, you know, actually cutting off Persis, you know, before the 1 year date. You know, that you're going to make an idiot of yourself. And then doubts about stepping into this new relationship that the Lord seems to be already bringing up to me, and all these thoughts like, this cannot be. There's no way that God would show me my, you know, future wife before, you know, I even sign divorce papers, even though in God's eyes, Persis and I clearly have been broken in our marriage covenant for 4 years ago. She broke the marriage covenant. And then we've been sleeping separate for over 3 years, living separate for, you know, over a year. I just had all these doubts. And I told Jared, he goes, brother, it's the part of my story I can't tell anybody. He said, God showed me I would be married again before I was even divorced from my first wife. And that's one of those things that you just, it doesn't register with your legalistic understanding of how God would normally do something. It seems like, is that God like promoting infidelity? No, it's not. He's saying, this is ended. And it probably ended before you knew it. And I now am moving you into something different. So I'm having these thoughts, and I told them, I said, guys, I'm struggling because I don't have my PC here. And I said, normally when I would be asked to do something like this, I need to do it immediately. So as soon as I know I need to take action on something, make a message, make that decision, do this, do that, I said, it's like I have to do it immediately. The courage rises. And I said, if I wait, then all these kind of doubts can come. And I said, so I'm used to doing something very quickly when God calls me into it. And I was explaining to them, I said, you know, I'm out of my element here. I don't have my PC, and we're spending time. They're like, do you want to go home and do this first? Because they wanted to take me to this mountain view. And I said, no, let's just go do what you need to do. I said, but I feel a strong sense that I'm supposed to do this. The minute we get home, I need to make this video. So we end up going to this, you know, long drive out in the country. We end up going to this mountain, top of this mountain called, I don't even want to give the name of the mountain because it would reveal somewhere close to where they live, and we keep that private. But we end up going to this mountain, looking off the view. And then I said, guys, I'm going to go on the other side. You guys, you know, sit down here. They sit down and let them have a little private time. And I wanted to go to the other side and pray. So I went to the other side, and I didn't want to pray prayers of doubt, but I ever so humbly, I said, Lord, you know, I am so badly wanting to do your will. And I said, this weekend has been extraordinary. I said, but Father, if there is any part of me that is deceived, not hearing you correctly, you know, wrong thinking, leading with the flesh, being deceived by Satan. I said, Lord, I'm opening the door one last time before I step into this. God, please don't let me make a mistake that I'll live to regret. Don't let me conjecture, you know, incorrectly. Don't let me be deceived, please. And it wasn't even like this begging. It was just this peaceful, like, Father, I'm just coming to you once more that if there's anything you want to do to stop me from doing this, please stop me. I didn't say anything to Jared and Kristen. So we make our way back down the mountain. We get in the car. Literally the first car that pulls in front of us, 616. And I said, guys, this is incredible. I said, I had just been on that mountain. And Jared saw it. He goes, I wasn't going to say anything. I said, yes, brother, I see it right there. I said, this is clearly God helping me. So Jared sees the 616. I see the 616. And I said, oh, God, thank you. Directly thereafter, 1721. Jared sees it, doesn't say anything. So we actually both saw and mentioned the 616. He did not say anything about the 1721. That would be one for 1 Corinthians 7:21. If you can get your freedom, do so. And I said, brother, look at that. He goes, man, I wasn't going to say anything. This happens literally right before we turn onto their road. I had got the video camera out and I actually videoed it. And so that gave me such peace. And I said, okay, Lord, I see it. This is clear what you want me to do. And Jared and I both are like, wow. And God is like, he's like, man, how could God possibly give us any more confirmation than he has? He's just given so much confirmation after confirmation. And we were just praising the Lord for it. So I knew, we go to the house and they help me get, you know, my camera set up and all that, the phone and down at the river. And I walked down there and they prayed for me before, you know, I went down. And I realized that, you know, this is a huge moment to make this step and then to put it out there publicly. And it's just a huge life-changing moment. So I go down and I'm just praying and I do the message. And after I finish the message, I feel, wow, I feel light. I get to their house. He comes running to unlock the gate for me to get back in. And they're like so excited to see me. Like you can tell they realize this is a big deal what we just did here, you know. And so the next thing I know, I'm in the house and I start humming. I'm like humming and like singing to myself. And he's like, brother, you know, how are you feeling? I said, man, I'm feeling weightless. I'm feeling happy. I'm feeling free. He goes, brother, I can totally tell. And it was this sense of joy. And he said, well, man, we have something incredible to tell you that happened while you were recording. And so I said, really? He goes, yes. You're not going to believe what God led Kay to read while you were making the recording. So turns out they were sitting on their porch doing some reading while I was making the recording, and they had prayed for me and all that. Well, I had given them a book last year called Cloud by Day, Fire by Night by Tozer. And it's about God's guidance and direction, et cetera, et cetera. And Kay was led to pick it up and begin reading it. So she's sitting there reading this, and of all the times she could have picked that book and of all the things she could have read in that book, he's like, brother, you just got to hear these three pages. And it was so specifically spot on to what we had just talked about the night before. One of the parts of the message applied so specifically to my situation, what I was doing with, you know, letting Persis go and then preparing to step into the new thing that God has for me. and also regarding this big change they're facing and the particular, you know, concern they have about this one possible aspect of this change that God has coming for them. And it's really been bothering Jared. So it turns out in these three pages, it's going to speak so vividly to exactly what we're talking about. And so he starts to read, and he gets to the point where he explains that in calling the Israelites out of Egypt, God does not ever just call you out of something, but out of something into something. And they were shocked. They looked at me and started cracking up laughing because those were my exact words to them regarding why God was calling me out of this bondage to Persis and already showing me he has somebody else for me. And I said, look at this. I said, guys, it doesn't make any sense to us why God would do something like this. I said, but the way God clearly works is he never calls you out of something without calling you into something. I said, every time he's ever called me out of somewhere or something, it's to into something else. And they were sitting there going, can you believe of all the times for them to hear such exact words that I had spoken to them 2 days earlier? They are hearing it while I'm sitting 50 yards from them, making a message about God is calling me to release Persis out of this marriage. In other words, I'm out of this. And I said, guys, you're not going to believe this. I said, I had no plans on sharing this in the recording. I said, but I was moved to mention in the recording that, and guys, you may not like this, but I'm going to marry again. God has already shown me he has somebody for me. And I'm going to step into it by faith, and I'm going to do it. So I mentioned in this recording, stepping out of something and into something. And here they are, while they are sitting up on the porch reading, God never calls you out of something without calling you into something. And he has something for you. And they kept reading, and there were so many other incredible things. The other thing that they mentioned is, he mentions, is that God is not calling you into a fixer-upper situation when he calls you out of some type of a bondage, calling you into some type of a promise. He said he will give you an incentive. There will be a sweetness. There will be some blessing about what he's calling you into so that you have an incentive. You're not just going to this fixer-upper place where you have to go in and build the homes and work hard and fix up everything. God was giving them an incentive to go through the wilderness journey into the promised land, and he was explaining to them how good it was. You were going to have houses that you did not have to build. There's grapes, you know, the size of bowling balls, if you will, in this land. And it's all about helping them to know that there, it's a land that drinks in rain from heaven, and God watches over the land, and it's fruitful and blessing, and you'll not be in need. And so he's giving them this tremendous incentive to go into the promised land, leaving the very difficult journey of bondage and the long journey of wilderness. And I said, guys, look at this. I said, look at how the Lord used this one particular person to show me an incentive to leave behind that which is dead. I said, how incredible. I mean, literally reading these three pages in this book was like taking a chapter from my life in the very chapter that I'm walking in right now. And then the rest of it was regarding something very wonderful and specific that was the specific encouragement Jared needed regarding the potential change they're facing. There was something that's causing him anxiety, and Tozer spoke so specifically. It couldn't have been any more specifically to the exact words and language that Jared was using just the night before to express his concern. We were sitting there going, this is amazing. So we see that God has us walking in like parallel paths with one another. Here we are chronologically again, going through a major uproot. God already had this happen to us once before, where God called us out of our traditional homes and called us both at the same time into our tiny houses. I mean, it's just incredible that the life changes that involved for both of us, even more so for them, because they left their state, they left their families, etc. And here we are again, walking through a season of great change and doing so by faith and seeing that we're having this like mirror image chronological order of time. God is doing this, and we're just like, this is incredible. So it's been so encouraging, but there's a couple of other things that I wanted to mention. And that is that we went into a store in this town called Green. It really looks like Gruen, G-R-U-E-N-E. It looks like Gruen, but it's Green. And there's this old general store that is just so adorable, like an old-timey, you know, general store, like something you would have seen a little bit fancier, but like on Little House in the Prairie type thing. So we went into this store and we're walking around. Jared and I are kind of hanging around up front and Kay heads towards the back, and I'm just, you know, just kind of meandering, just kind of looking here and there. Well, I end up finding one of these, you know, rounders that has these little touristy license plates on them, like that you would see at Disney World. Now, I haven't seen anything like that in I don't know how many years. They're usually only in tour spots, and it's where it will say like Disney World, Florida, and then it's got like people's names on them for the license plate. So here I was looking at this, and I started turning. There's three turns. There's three levels. So there's a section at top that spins, a section in the middle that spins, and a section on the bottom that spins. And so I'm spinning the one on the middle, and I'm looking for this particular woman's name, the woman who I recently have had this, like, looking very much more like the Lord is telling me, this is who I have for you. And there's just been sign after sign after sign already. So here I am looking through these like license plates to see if her name's in there. So I find her name and I'm just like, oh, how delightful. It's spelled exactly the same way. So I take it out, hold it over the floor, and I take a picture of it with my phone. When I go and put it back up, mind you, I had to spin this thing to get to her name. So when I go and hang her name back up, I then look down directly below, like four or five names below, and there is the name Michael. So now her name is in the same plane of view directly below my name. And I never saw my name when I took her name off. I never saw it. It's only after I put her name back up that I then look down and the very next name, not like looking through to see if there was a name, didn't even think to look for my name. It didn't even come across my mind. But I look down and there is my name under hers. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, how wonderful. So I took a picture of that. So that happens. And then I also captured the 616-1721. I make the message, and then my heart is just filled with peace. There is this peace that I have done the right thing. And that has been really, really another indication of God's blessing. The peace of Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning in my heart on this. And I went out of my way to make sure that I never replied to this woman, this sister, until after I already put up this video. I felt like I needed to put this video up before I even replied to the next email that she had sent to me, which is totally platonic. I mean, it's just right now it's just a total friendship relationship, absolutely platonic. There was no funny business. The only funny business came what I now know to be by the providence and design of God, where I've already captured what has happened there, where she and I knew something very bizarre happened at the end of that Skype call that we did. And it caught us both by surprise. It came out of nowhere and it was very awkward. It was like a knowing. It's remarkable. It really is. And when she said that she felt it too, I was like, that has to be a confirmation for me. There's no doubt about it. That something weird had happened. And then the dream, which was so sweet, which I immediately think this has got to be from Satan. And as it turns out, it's not. As evidenced by all the other signs, the New Zealand signs, her name signs, the 512s, the confirmations, all these different things that have happened, which I've already captured. So nonetheless, I now have a little bit of concern about, okay, Lord, how do I proceed from here? What do I say to her? What is the next step in moving towards this promise? You know, I don't want to leave her in suspense, and I want to give her time to really know that, hey, I believe the Lord is leading me in this direction, and I'm going to invite you to please, if you're so willing, to ask the Lord to speak to you as well, to ask the Lord to see if he will show you what he's showing me. And that's my first thoughts are, and I'm like, God, I don't know how I should do this. I mean, there's part of me that feels like this is something that almost needs to be approached more from a heavenly, I hate to say it, business, but the business of heaven is a business. God, my Father, is always at work. And it's almost like, I feel like there's a part of me that wonders if I should approach this more like people have always approached marriage back in the day, where you would come and you would approach the person very directly. You know, Charles Spurgeon sits next to us, Susanna Spurgeon, and says, you know, a good wife is the greatest of all the providences of God to a man. Have you ever prayed about the godly man that you were to one day marry? And then he takes her for a walk and just speaks so directly to her. Or Andrew Murray approaching, I believe his wife's name was Emma. I can't remember exactly, but he approaches her very directly. It's not this like, oh, we have this fall in love. And it's very direct that I believe God is moving me to ask you to be my wife. And these transactions take place. They pray, respective of one another, they pray about it. And then they're led into this incredible love story. But that, you know, there's a sense that God is in this. And you move forward in faith on God, even before you have all the details, even before there's this, you know, you fall in love, even before you know all the information that you would ordinarily want to know, like pray about this, you know, and you approach. So for example, I have no doubt that when a Charles Spurgeon approaches a Susanna Spurgeon and a, you know, Andrew Murray approaches his wife, and certainly when George Mueller approached his wife, they didn't know all the answers to all the questions that we would ask. What kind of food do you eat? How often do you like to eat? What's your idea of a great vacation? What do you believe about finances? What do you believe about this? They didn't do these things. They didn't ask themselves, you know, so like, tell me about your love language. They stepped into it by faith and they simply allowed God. This is the picture that I get, that they allowed God to confirm, you know, these things for them. Not, you know, if it all fits our perfect expectations, if it all fits our list of wants and desires, then we will do it. And I think obviously there's a wisdom in investigating some of these things. But at this point, I'm starting to think, okay, God, if this is the one that you're showing me that you have for me, then it's a matter of I'm willing to step into this by faith. As I say, all of my heroes have done, and then they write in their end of their life, there could have been no other wife for me. This was, you know, granted, all these men I'm mentioning had multiple wives because God took away their first wives through death. And, but nonetheless, they would always testify that, you know, there could have been no other wife for me, that this was the exact person that I needed. And of course, I have all the natural concerns and all the natural, you know, questions and doubts and, oh, she's never going to be interested. Oh, you're going to move too quick. Oh, this is too soon. Oh, you haven't even signed the divorce papers yet. And yet this is just the manly, governmental, godless organization, by the way, formality. Whereas God is the one that's telling me, let her go. It's over. And it has been over by covenant for a long time. God has just given her time to repent, and she's chosen not to. Just as Jesus Christ said, I have given her time to repent. She's not done so. So I feel totally free. Oh, there's a bunch of tiny houses. I feel totally free, like more free than I ever have. It's been, and I've been filled with such joy, even in hoping for persons to wake up and come back to repentance. And now I just feel so free. It's funny, they showed a video they had taken of how hard it was for us to get my tiny house out of the storage unit. And Kay got out her video. And in the video, this is from, you know, back in 2018. In the video, there's Persis. And I saw her and I had such a dead reaction to her. It's incredible. You would think I would go, oh, there's my old wife, you know, blah, blah. No, it was like, it was really incredible. There was a deadness to it. And this was actually the night before I did the video. And I said, guys, it is not a coincidence that you showed me that video. Because I said, that shows me the full release in my heart that God has given me by faith. That God indeed has given me this release. And man, had he. It was like I was literally looking at like a dead person, or like a, you know, person that I had known in a previous life. It was incredible. And there was like no attraction, no draw, no nothing. On the contrary, there was a sense of I'm glad to be free of this now. And I am. I that is the most remarkable thing, is that I'm free. No matter what happens going forward, if, you know, this particular sister doesn't reciprocate and does not sense at all that this is something of God, or has her own issues that she has to deal with, what have you. And I can say that now I am free. I am free. And I'm so thankful for that. God has got me out of, and he's going to take me into. And I waited and I persevered and I kept the faith and I showed unconditional love. By the grace of God, he gave it to me, and I feel guilt-free. I feel I did every single thing I could. I made it public. There's no other wife for me. I mean, I went out of my way to make sure there's no funny business, that the door is not open. There was no other woman that could enter into this door until and unless God himself did it, and I absolutely believe he has done it. He has done it. And so there was just so many confirmations. You know, there was another confirmation in a Streams in the Desert. I don't even remember what it was, but Jared even said, brother, did you read? And I said, yes, I did, brother. So there's just been so much confirmation. And the thing that's been so wonderful about it is how it's happened in the presence of witnesses. And I told Jared and Kristen, I said, guys, I think God saw that I was so vulnerable having to live this story publicly, and how God allowed me to believe this so strongly for so long, that because there is the capacity for this thing to be tainted by flesh, and for Satan to be so clever to take me out of God's will in this and to cause me to end up making a huge mistake, I said, I can see how a wonderful mercy of God was to put me with you guys this weekend and allow you guys to experience the climactic moment of change and turn, coming out of one thing and into another thing. You were there as witnesses to this, that every matter would be established by two or three witnesses, and it has been established. They saw the providence. God showed it to them, and they have the peace of Christ ruling and reigning in their hearts. And Jared is the kind who comes from the angle of being very cautious and very skeptical, as anybody should in something like this. And he said, "Brother, I have to tell you, for a long time now, I can look back and say that I did not think that Persis was going to come back and that the time was ready for you to be free." And he said, "But yet I see how God had to keep you in this all the way to the end." And he said, "When we heard that scripture about Jesus Christ not finding any fruit on the tree after 3 years and say, give it one more year, and if not, dig it up and pull it out of the ground." He said, "That to me was like absolute confirmation that this is what God was doing." And it's been 4 years, and God has been so merciful to Persis and waited so long for her. It's very, very sad to see a person resist God like this, to be pulled off. And I still have hope that maybe one day she will break. Maybe one day she'll see what she lost in Jesus Christ and what she lost in me. And maybe she will remember the email that she wrote to me all those years ago. "If I ever left you or divorced you, I would be a bigger fool than even your ex-wife." How prophetic is this? That her own words condemn her. "If I ever left you, I would be a bigger fool than even your ex-wife was." And how ironic that just yesterday I was led to read, I believe it's 1 Samuel 25, about David and the whole story of Nabal and Abigail, and how she explains to David that her husband is a fool. She said his name means fool, and that he was stubborn and wicked. And 10 days later, after she comes and greets David and pleads for forgiveness and mercy and compassion towards her, her family, her husband, and the people, based on account of him being a fool, 10 days later, Nabal dies. God kills him. Immediately after, David says, "Go ask her to be my wife." And they send servants to go say that David, King David, would like for you to be his wife. And David, she reciprocates immediately. And I look at this, this is the exact same situation. God cut off the fool, and immediately already God has shown me, I believe, and I just will say it, it's hard for me to say in the natural, but by faith, I absolutely believe that this woman is my wife, and that my final marriage is going to be happier than anything I've ever experienced. I believe it by faith. I held out and resisted any possibility of setting myself free from the bondage I was in to Persis. I said, "There's nobody that could ever love me like this. There's no other woman out there for me. I'm not interested in any other wives." I always made it clear so that no sisters ever thought this door was open. I kept this door closed. I slammed it shut. I put deadbolts on it. I locked it up. I put chains around it. There was no way that door was opening. But I started making this recording at 4:51, which speaks of Isaiah 45:1, God removing mountains, God breaking through the bronze gates and the iron bars. And of course, I see this as God again reminding me of his promise to deliver me into this marriage, because it's impossible. Here's another situation by faith. God has chosen another wife for me who lives halfway around the world, and there are impossibilities that stand in the way. Not impossibilities, but difficulties, there's no doubt. And nonetheless, arranged and secured in every part. I saw that twice I'm sorry, three times in a very short period of time, 4:55 yesterday when we were finishing up. God making it clear that this is incredible. And I have such peace about this. In fact, soon it's going to be 45.5 miles per gallon. And it's 51.1 miles right now. Right now it's 51.1 and now 51.2. This is the true grace of God. Stand for a minute. I mean, you're not going to say that's a coincidence. I haven't even looked at those numbers the whole time. So the first one is, we consider blessed those who have persevered, for you have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. And then 5:12, which is the whole connection to this particular sister, where God showed me all those 5:12s. I could just go on and on about it. This is just amazing. It's amazing, and yet I have such peace about it. There's not this excitement in the flesh. It's really feels, it feels like I've transacted business with heaven. And it feels like I need to transact business on this, that I need to walk into this by faith. Not that it can't have a sweetness to it and a, you know, an element of love and romance and excitement that comes with that. I'm sure that will come. But that this is, I have this for you. It really does feel like I'm going to have to approach this way to explain, like, I know this is going to be the most unromantic thing you've ever heard of. 535, FM 535 right now. I said, but I think it really feels like I need to move forward. Like, this is what God has. You're going to have to just ask the Lord to confirm this, and we will walk into this, you know, marriage and into this, what God has for us, a love relationship by faith. And trust God to provide all that is necessary to do this. And I just, a week ago, would have said to you, oh, the Lord would never give me a wife like this. I would have just said this, like, this could never happen. This lady is way out of my league, particularly in the looks department. She would not be attracted to me. You know, I would have said something like that. And now I have to say, well, by faith, I don't believe that's true anymore. I have to believe what God is telling me. I think the most remarkable thing about this whole thing is all the peace. There is none of that silly business going on in my stomach, you know, or in my brain. It is really just peace. Peace, peace, peace. Let the peace of Christ rule and reign in your hearts. And you know, if I walk into this, this is going to be very, very significant life changes. Very significant life changes. I have no doubt that the implications of this would be that I move to New Zealand. Not that she moves here. It feels very much like I will end up moving to New Zealand and not asking her to leave behind her friends and family. And she has a daughter. So that they would not have to move here and move away from everything they've known, that I would be the more flexible one willing to move there. And, you know, when you look at the irony of this, where all those times in 2018, or maybe it's 2019, I think it's early 2019, where God is telling me, you are moving to New Zealand. And it's New Zealand every single day. New Zealand this, New Zealand that, even to the point of the great providence of God having a Christian radio station in New Zealand contact me about using my content. And just incredible, incredible providences that are only explainable by God. And having to say, Persis, we're moving to New Zealand. And by my doing that, that reveals her hand in this. That she is of a different spirit completely, and she is not going with me. And she lets me know she's not going with me to New Zealand. And so this whole time, I've always just concluded, God, I don't understand the New Zealand thing. I do not understand this New Zealand thing. I don't get it. So anyhow, I look back on this And I used to question the whole time. I'm like, God, why did you show me New Zealand so many times and made it so compelling that I was going to be moving to New Zealand? And then, no. I ended up not moving to New Zealand. I built the tiny house and all that stuff. Even to the point of selling the tiny house, putting it up for sale so that we can move to New Zealand. And God stops it. It's incredible to look back on this. And now it seems that God has told me the wife he's chosen for me is in New Zealand, which will end up putting me back in New Zealand. So it turns out where, although I was wrong about purses coming back, I'm not wrong about ending up in New Zealand. I mean, that would be just incredible. I guess the one other thing that I'll add, which is kind of a sweet reminder, is Jared and Kristen did something that would completely go against their nature if it were not by the Spirit of God, and that is that they, and it's 5:44 right now, you will remember no more the reproach of your widowhood, not be put to shame, not be disgraced. What an incredible promise. 9:29, a car passing me right this moment. It will be to you according to your faith. Praise the Lord God Almighty. 3:422s this morning. I don't think I've seen it all weekend long. 3:422s this morning. You're about to enter into the promised land. On this particular aspect of the promised land. 5:44 and a 9:29 all at the same time. Incredible. So Jared and Kristen ended up really believing for me about this sister in New Zealand. And we started kind of joking where I've always been the third wheel with them in our relationship because Persis was never interested in going anywhere with us. She only went like one place with us. So in almost all of my relationship with Jared and Kristen, it's always been that I'm a third wheel to them. Because again, Persis was, and they're like, no, you're not a third wheel. And I said, well, you know, but how interesting is it that, you know, Persis would never come with us. So I was always alone with them. So we're sitting at this really neat restaurant in Green, Texas. And there's this chair that's empty. And I start talking about one day she's going to be sitting in that chair. The next time we come here, she'll be there. And I take a picture of the chair that's an empty chair. And there were just a few little things like that that we had the faith to believe God for. And we had faith for it. For example, they've already talked about how amazing it would be to fly to New Zealand to be, you know, a part of whatever small wedding we have there. To see Jared get so excited about that, he said, brother, that would be incredible. I said, man, you guys would come. That would be so wonderful. That would be so wonderful. So this type of thinking has been such a blessing to me, to see them believing and joining in faith with me and thinking about us all in the future doing some things together. That was really such a blessing to me. That was just more confirmation, you know, of their blessing. It's 6:21 right now. I'm 74.6 miles away from Jared and Kristen's house, headed back home. I'm listening to the video I put up yesterday, and I'm talking about I'm standing in resurrection life. You know, Jared and Kristen can testify, brothers and sisters, I'm free, etc. I still have faith to trust God in this no matter what. And I'm just driving down this dark country road. It's 6:22 in the morning right now. And my eyes just go right to it. The only thing lit up in this dark field is this sign that says, resurrection life comes after death. Never forget that. I mean, I've never seen that written on a church board ever. I've not seen any signs really at all. And the only sign I can see in this dark field, this sign lit up. My eyes just in 1 second went right to it, and I was able to read it that quick. Resurrection life comes after death. Never forget that. Wow. I mean, that is just incredible. More and more confirmation. Just so thankful to God for this. Praise the Lord. Well, this is absolutely just so incredibly kind of my Father. It is 7:12 a.m. right now. I'm 123 miles towards home from leaving Jared and Kristen's. And I literally started praying. I've had a wonderful morning all morning, and I just started praying, Father, now I need you to lead me into the next step with Lisa. What do I do? You know, what do I say to Lisa? This is really going to be probably weird for her. And I'm like, God, what is the next step? And so I've been seeing 122, 122, 122 the last couple of days too. And I looked at my speedometer, or looked at my dash while I was praying, God, I need you to lead me into the next steps. You know, what do I do? And I look and exactly, I see 7:11. I was actually thinking about, God, I'm going to be willing to step into this without knowing anything about her. And I specifically was thinking, you know, is this woman going to have the capacity to, you know, love me in the language that I really am only able to primarily receive love? I mean, is she a woman who will have affection with me and you know, be loving in that way? I don't really know anything about her. I'm just thinking about, like, moving forward in faith. And I was just, I had that thought in my head, like, I don't even know this woman. I have no idea if, you know, she's capable of that or not. I really don't know. And so, you know, the last thing you'd want to do is get into a marriage and find out that, you know, her primary love language is keeping the house clean, and she thinks that's how she shows her love to me, and she doesn't have any desire or capacity for affection. And it would just, that would be really devastating to me. But nonetheless, God's will be done, right? But I'm thinking about that just quickly, and I look up at the exact moment I'm thinking about this. It's 7:11. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts when your children ask, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? So at that exact moment, I look, and trip A is 122 miles. A good man obtains favor from the Lord. So at the exact time I see the 7:11, I'm at 122 miles. There's that 122 that keeps popping up. Then at that exact moment, I look up as I'm praying about this, like, God, what do I do next? And I look up, and this little sign right in front of me, County Road 212. Now, you just have to ask yourself, these are the kind of things you ask if you're beginning to look for the signs of God and of providence. That's like a triple confirmation all at one time. And I believe if I listen to the first recording I sent Jared and Kristen, at one point in the recording I mentioned, and here's exit 212, while I'm making the recording. Well, there's only one exit 212 in that entire state. How is it that I'm making the recording exactly at that same time? So, same thing here, 7:11, 122, 212, just as I look up. He has granted you the desire of your heart. He's not withheld the request of your lips. The natural part of me cannot believe that this is possible. It cannot believe that God would be willing to turn around and give me a wife this quick, that he's already shown me who she is, and that she would be in fitting with the desires of my heart. I don't even know her. Right now, I should be thinking, my man, I need to find a lot of things out before I even take the first step in this. I've already received the first email from a woman this morning hinting about God giving her a godly spouse and her divorce story, etc. And so I only know it's a matter of time before women start concluding, you know, and getting maybe their hopes up, and I don't blame them. So I'm thinking, and here it is, 222, right this second, County Road 222, the exact same little tiny sign as I'm saying it, 222, and the Lord God brought the woman to the man. wow. I mean, I just so thankful when God does this. When he does this. And last night, Jared and I were looking at something, and I said, look at there, brother, 222. And the Lord God brought the woman to the man. And he's like, yep, I see it. So to me, it's like, here's another 222, HTJ2223 on this guy's license plate passing me at this exact time. I mean, this is, your natural brain always wants to go, wow, that's a neat coincidence. And yet it's all these quote neat coincidences that have gotten me to this place where I have such grace in my heart. And I've seen all these blessings of God come to pass. I can absolutely say right now, I know that Lisa is supposed to be my wife. God is telling me Lisa is supposed to be my wife. She doesn't know it yet, but apparently I do. 717, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out. This is another timed thing that I've been seeing around this. Like, God is telling me it'll be according to your faith. If anyone chooses to do his will, I'll find out. So that means I'm going to have to move forward in this very kind of scary, humbling way with Lisa and watch God do what only he can do. I mean, this is incredible. This is just amazing to me. I have such peace in my heart. At the same time, I'm like, part of me is surprised and part of me is not surprised. Part of me is like, yes, she is your wife. It's almost like I feel as confident about her being my wife as I am that Persis no longer is my wife, that she's been taken away from me. Wow. I mean, how could this possibly be? It's like, what? And yet I have to, God forbid that he would do something this nice for me and I would shrink back from it. And I was so thankful that when Jared was reading from the Tozer book yesterday, my eyes went right to this big quote they had on the side of the page, that the wonderful things God does for his children have nothing to do with their goodness, but rather his. And I said, brother, that is exactly what I need to hear right now. That it's a reminder that it's okay for me to feel unworthy of this, because I am unworthy of this. God is not going to give me a wife like this, take me out of the prison like this, and then give me a wonderful wife like this because of my goodness, but because of his. And it's so, you know, necessary to put down your human understanding that you cannot possibly imagine that God would do something this nice for you and he would do it this soon. I told Jared, I said, this doesn't line up with human understanding at all. And he goes, brother, I get it. He said, God showed me I would be married before I was even divorced, that I would be married again. And I had such a hard time believing it because he came from that legalistic background. And so, yeah, this is incredible. I guess I have to just take, you know, the next step forward, which seems like a huge step, but it seems to me like, let's see, I need to look at my navigation here. 0.5 miles, West State Highway 21. Yeah, so it looks to me like the next step is going to be for me to reach out to her and say, I know this is going to sound really wacky-doo, but it really seems to me that God has told me that you are going to be my wife, and I would ever so humbly ask that you not be shocked about this, but that you simply trust the Lord and ask him to show this to you, and we will then know, and I can allow her to have confirmation and allow her to know, you know, have time that the Lord can show this to her. And then that way there's no funny. And here it is, 721 right now. When I pulled into the Chick-fil-A, the address on the Chick-fil-A was 721 this morning. Just more and more confirmation. So thankful for this, God. the peace in my heart is overwhelming. I feel like I should be going, oh, this is amazing. Oh, but I just have such a peace. It's like there's a still river. Oh, there's nothing greater than that. Because it's not me that can keep my heart like this. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the peace of Christ rule and reign in your hearts. I mean, I'm amazed. I'm just amazed at this. I almost feel like I just need to send her a short recording and say, listen, I don't want to explain to you how God has led me this, because I don't want to influence you in any way. But I believe God has already shown me that you are to be my wife. I know that it sounds ridiculous. We don't even know each other. You know me. I don't even know you. So it's more scary for me perhaps than it is for you. I said, but I'm living by faith. But please, you know, put yourself in a position to ask the Lord about this. It's like I almost don't even want to tell her, you know, the New Zealand signs and all the things that God showed me. This is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. You know, he's going to take away my disgrace and he's going to give me double. I almost don't even want to tell her any of these things that have happened over this weekend, specifically related to her, you know, finding the Lisa sign and then the Michael, my name was down below hers. I almost don't want to tell her any of that stuff and let her see if the Lord will, instead of it, you know, me manipulating her to believe. No, you ask the Lord to show you. I'm going to end this recording now and, you know, really just trust the Lord for this. Praise the God in heaven. Praise the God in heaven. 6:44, God acts on behalf of the one who waits for him.